You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan. Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future. Assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. This week, we lay out our predictions on just what 2016 holds for video games and for Famicom Dojo. And next year, we'll look back and see how much of it was right. What's happening with the Nintendo NX? What's the next big thing in gaming? Will either of us find anything more interesting than herbs gathering? How many more times are we going to watch Star Wars The Force Awakens? A lot. Probably a lot. Yes, we were born to play all this video games.
Happy New Year, Sean.
Happy New Year, Vink.
Wow, another year of Famicom Dojo down the tubes.
So, wait a minute. I was just going to say, if we're on season two, that must mean it's 2010, right?
Oh, dear, yes.
Hey.
That's going to happen this year, right?
Yeah. Spoilers.
I predict that it's going to happen. That's our New Year's resolution.
Right? Right.
Yes. So hopefully before 2017 rolls around, we will have our Kickstarter.
Yeah. Spoilers.
And hopefully it'll actually ship before 2017.
That is the plan for sure.
Yep. Well, good podcast. I gotta go.
Yeah. I mean, this new year and everything, the days are shorter because what?
I really want to get back to playing Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Oh, Christmas present?
Christmas present. Yep. Santa knew exactly what I wanted this year. And, is it good? I think it's good.
Well, if you play it as much as you do.
Yes. I mean, wanting to play a game in lieu of like every other thing is a good thing. But like, I don't know. I think it's just the structure. There's just lots of statistics and bars to fill up and stuff like that.
Oh, boy.
my wife watched me play it for a while and she's like, this is looks so boring. It's all math. She's like, shouldn't a game be like where you like, I don't know, move around or fight things? You mostly spend your time in these screens with statistics on them.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, it's so fun.
I mean, you might enjoy Mass Effect in that case because there are stats and inventory. Lots and lots of inventory.
I don't know, though. Like, yeah, I'm sure. But, I'm really, really enjoying this. And I've got to stop making fun of you a little bit because I did find myself, like, walking around searching for melons.
Yes.
because I needed to get six of them for a tiny little side mission. And I'm like, oh, this is my herb gathering moment. So.
Yep.
And I'm doing this and I'm like, you know what? Screw it. This is fun.
Yeah. That's right.
So I didn't see that one coming though. Like I've always been a little apprehensive towards open world games and games that are similar to like massively multiplayer online games in general.
Right.
I'm not sure why this one has cracked that. I think it might just be because I like the series. I like the franchise so much. I mean, it's really not connected to the other Xenoblade games, but just that anything with Xeno in it, I've enjoyed over the years. Right. And I don't know. And it gives me that it gives me a Phantasy Star Online vibe, like Dreamcast era Phantasy Star Online. And I really loved playing that. It was it's the only MMO I've ever really enjoyed. But even at the time, I'm like, oh, there's not really much to this. But Xenoblade Chronicles is like, wow, there's a lot of things going on. I wonder if I can interact with everything. Yeah, it's really, it's nice.
So would you say that you predict you'll be playing this well into the new year?
Oh, and well into next year, because once this Christmas break is over, this is like a 120-hour game. It's gonna. This is my game of the year, and by game of the year, I don't mean like in a top 10 way. I mean as in the only game I'll be able to play this year.
This does sound like your Dragon Age.
Yes. Yes. Oh, in many ways. In many ways. But yeah. You know, it's but you know it the year just finished up, and we got a new one looming.
That's my prediction. New Loom.
A new. No, don't miss true. Oh man, I would so crowdfund that. Oh man, you heard it here first, everyone. Sean's main prediction for the year is a new Loom.
This week's episode of the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is sponsored by Eric Dory in part two of a three-part sponsorship trilogy. Eric reminds us that his last name is pronounced like Dory the Fish from Finding Nemo, which, I mean, come on. Pixar reference? Awesome. Stay tuned to next episode to find out how Eric's Dory story ends and if we can match the crappy humor of his first sponsored episode. If you want to sponsor an episode of the Famicom Dojo podcast, just go to littlepodcast.com, find the Famicom Dojo logo, and click on the sponsorship button. Oh, and Eric, that Lego Dimensions thing? You're welcome.
This is what we predict will happen in 2016. Now, I'd like everyone at home to play along. So
yes.
We'll revisit this podcast as the year ends, and we'll see how many we got right and how many we got wrong. New Loom will be the free space. Because that's definitely going to happen. on our bingo card of fun.
Oh, no.
Well, first of all, do you have any Christmas games? Are you playing any Christmas games?
Any Christmas-themed games or just...
There's not a lot of Christmas-themed games, although I am playing one right now. I am playing a Christmas-themed game. I am playing Parasite Eve.
Really?
Did you ever play that?
No.
I started it back in, I don't know, when I was in college, so maybe 99, 2000, something like that. Okay. And I'm just getting around to finishing it now.
Nice. Oh, boy.
it was like a few bucks on as a PSN classic. I mean, I have the discs, but portables are more compatible with my lifestyle these days. And it's a nice little RPG because it's supposed to be like 15, 20 hours to beat the whole thing. So,
okay.
Those are the type of things. And it's set, on Christmas. So that's one of the very... Christmas 1997, I think, is the setting of the game, despite the fact that it came out in 90... It probably came out in 97 in Japan.
Okay.
So it was, like, supposed to be, you know... And that's what's nice. I kind of like the occasional RPG set in modern times, but not future times.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, have you ever played it?
No, I've heard about it.
I heard that the sequels were so different and the third one was so bad that it kind of almost made me not want to go forward with the game. But I'm really enjoying. The graphics have not aged well, but they didn't look very high tech at the time. The cutscenes looked very good. The music's really nice. But like the actual like polygonal moving around... Pretty bad.
Oh, boy.
But that's okay. I think part of it, playing out on the Vita actually makes it a little bit better there because the screen's small, so it kind of compresses it a little bit, you know.
Okay, oh, sure.
It makes it a little more forgiving than trying to put it on my 50-inch television where the jaggies will cut your eyes out.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, did you get any games from Santa Claus?
No.
No?
No.
What a jerk.
Santa knows how big my pile of shame is and how much he contributed to it over the years.
I see. So what did Santa give you then?
Well, I'm actually wearing, well, actually it was for my kids, not Santa specifically, but I'm actually wearing a pretty sweet Superman bathrobe right now.
All right.
It is. It's actually pretty, it's like really clever. Like the belt's all yellow, the loops are all red, you know, and yeah. It's pretty nice.
My sister got my kids a Wonder Woman and a like Batman costume that they've been playing around with. Yeah. And then
so getting ready for Batman versus Superman, huh?
That thing's happening. I predict that will be terrible.
Oh no, I predict it'll be just fine, but there'll be lots of fanboy whining.
That sounds about right. So I bought my sister a T-shirt that I thought was clever, that just said "World's Okayest Sister."
Oh no!
And without any pre-planning, without any of this going on, I got a gift from her that was a T-shirt that said "World's Okayest Brother."
Yes.
There was no planning going into giving each other those gifts, but both of us, while browsing Amazon at the late hours, thought, "Yep, that's the gift."
It's almost like you're related or something.
Yes. Anyway, so to my world's okayest podcast friend, let's.
Oh, that's me. Oh God!
All right, Chet. Let's go through some predictions. Why don't you start us off here?
Oh, all right. Well, for those of let me say that again. For those of you following us on Facebook, Vink recently cross-posted the Retro VGS is going to have a new life as the Coleco Chameleon.
And I think that's a really good name, by the way. If they continue having the thing where it can emulate all these other systems.
I'm guessing that's what the chameleon means in this case. Yeah. So I think so. It seems like it's largely a branding, rather a rebranding effort.
I had no idea Coleco was still around. Or they're probably just like a properties holding thing right now, like Atari, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I predict that this time around it will go much better. Being on Kickstarter will probably help it a lot. We'll have Mike Candy back on the show, which I'm sure will help tons.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we probably will. We haven't actually asked him yet, but I'm sure he'd do it.
No, probably. I mean, I don't know. I mean, one would hope that with the Coleco backing, maybe the Kickstarter goal doesn't need to be quite as high. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how it's breaking down. I still like the idea of a cart-based system that I can still collect carts for, that can be all of these other things. But I mean, I totally see why the Indiegogo didn't take off. The price was too high for most people. It was, to tell you the truth, it was too high for me. And I mean, I'm behind this thing, but it was hard for me to round up the money at the time.
Yeah.
Despite wanting one very much. And just a lot of miscommunication and things. So hopefully that'll come out better. Do you think it'll launch in 2016?
No.
I would say not either. I mean, from the updates I've been seeing, they've got a much more reasonable timeline pricing structure. I mean, they're going to. And if all that pans out, I'll buy one.
So I know some changes they're going to make are they're going to have an actual prototype.
Yes.
This time, which is going to hopefully save a lot of the criticism.
Yes.
But also some things that I know that they didn't echo necessarily, but I think would be good ideas would be to kind of like don't try and bash the current generation so much. And emphasize what's good about this product specifically and why you want it along with your current generation system, because you're going to have both more likely than not.
I mean, like to me, the whole advertising thing that they were saying of like, no need to ever install, you know, no internet connection, you know, it for me, that's a plus, because that means that there's not going to be any, you know, anything that will potentially break games in the future, you know,
right.
That's a great thing. But for most people that that seems like that's like crazy. It's like potato chips, no salt. You know, you know, if you're
not even sea salt,
if you're health conscious and stuff, that's great. But for a lot of people, it's like, wait a minute, a game console without internet? I mean, for people who are, you
it's
know,
like a baby's toy.
Yeah, that's like a baby's. I'm glad we get in the Back to the Future references to start off the new year. I predict that we will have, that we will continue to make Back to the Future references.
I concur.
Into the new year. That can be our free space.
Right. We should have a bingo card.
But yeah, I mean, I will see. We'll see where it goes. But there's some promising things. Apparently, they're going to be having meetings with Toys R Us and also with Double Fine. So that was posted on their Facebook today. And I mean, we'll see. We'll see what pans out. Cautiously optimistic. Yeah.
So I mean, cautiously optimistic. You say Double Fine. Does this mean like older stuff then? Full Throttle or something?
Oh man. Oh, I would love Full Throttle on a cartridge. Man, that'd be great. I'm thinking more of probably like a port of Double Fine Adventure, you know.
Sure.
Or one of their new things, because it's not, I mean, this thing will probably have enough horsepower to run it, you know.
It's just if they have the core. Well, I guess if Double Fine's willing to work on the core with them, who knows?
Well,
who knows?
If it also still has the ARM processor from before, I mean, they got this thing working on an Ouya, so.
Okay, sure.
You know, I have no idea. I mean, I know it's not an Android-based system, but, you know, that's still, I believe, ARM architecture, so.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay.
Wait, your turn.
Oh, okay. What, well, it's not as well known as, of course, the Coleco Chameleon, but there might be another new console next year.
Oh.
Something called the let's see. It's by some Japanese name. What is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Nintendo, I think. Nintendo.
I haven't heard of that one.
And they're going to be releasing, or at least talking about, the NX.
Oh.
Okay. Yes. Obviously, this is probably the biggest news in the game. Well, maybe second biggest. I'll get to what might be the biggest later.
Oh my. Okay.
I think that in 2016 the NX will be unveiled. But I do not believe that it'll be released within 2016. I think that if it was to be released in 2016, we would have needed to know a little bit more right now.
Yeah, I agree.
There's not a lot of chatter. And frankly, if they do release it in 2016 right now, I might not buy it.
Oh,
because that just means that they did not give developers a very good heads up, you know, because,
right.
I mean, we don't even know what it is yet. We don't know if it's a portable or a console or both or neither.
Neither.
I don't know. Or it could be like a branding, like 3DO.
Oh boy. Oh, that's
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do, but I don't think they would do that.
This is an NX portable. This is the NX suite for smartphones. This is the NX, you know.
Oh boy.
You know, because they have all these patents for cloud-based blah 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 blah. You know,
sure.
It could be, and it could be the next OnLive, whatever that's called. But I mean, I'm
they
hoping
want it to succeed,
not.
Right?
I'm hoping it's not, but like we don't know. We don't know if it's going to be all digital. We don't know if it's going to take some form of media. It's probably not going to be an optical disc. That's my prediction that it won't take an optical disc as much as I'd like it to. This is a prediction I hope I'm wrong on. I would love it to be backwards compatible with Wii U because I love Wii U. But something tells me that they're not going to hold on to that baggage because probably they're going to want to go for a more universal architecture. If they really are actually serious about getting third-party support, they need to switch to, you know, x86 architecture or something like that.
Right.
Which would make it hard to do backwards compatibility unless it's super powerful. But that doesn't sound like Nintendo.
Sure doesn't.
I predict that it's going to be on par or slightly lower in spec than the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, if it's a home console.
Okay.
I don't feel that Nintendo's going to go all in for technology, but they don't need to at this point because the generation of PlayStation 4 and Xbox One is still new. I really think that if they can just get that the games for those systems can be easily ported, you know, close enough. You know, even the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, there's a power difference, you know. But if they can get it up to the, you know, the lowest point where a developer finds that it's worth their time to port, I think that would be a sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo has to release it cheap because the other consoles have already had their price drops.
Right.
And unless Nintendo is doing something wacky, that makes you want to buy it at a higher price than the other two.
Cause it's new.
Yeah. No. That's not going to do it. And I also predict that within the launch window, we have Splatoon. Yes, that's my sequel, Splatoon. T-W-O.
Twoon, Splatoon.
Maybe the number two. S-P-L-A-T.
Instead of like the T, kind of like in...
Yeah.
The four in the A for Fantastic Four, because that did great.
But the thing is, I think this is Nintendo's kind of last shot at hardware, though. If this one fails, I think they're going to go full mobile. So.
Oh, no. Is that a prediction?
Please buy. Well,
that's a prediction for like 2018.
Lord, I hope they last that long.
my.
What do you think about the NX? What do you think about it?
Yeah, let me throw some add-on predictions here. I think it will be unveiled this year. It will be unveiled at E3, and much like previous E3 era unveilings, will get a name. Actually, you know what? At E3, but through their direct. I should say. So technically not at E3 at all.
I think the name will stay NX.
You think so?
Yeah, I like it.
Ah, I don't think it's going to, though.
Because they,
they've never
X'd.
Done that. I mean, because I...
Yes, they did. They did. They did.
When?
The DS.
Oh.
Yep, but that's the only one.
I was just going to say, because I really love my dolphin and my...
And cafe.
Cafe.
I'm a fan of
Revolution.
My Sega. I'm a fan of my Sega Katana.
Right.
Yes.
Oh. The Nintendo Ultra 64.
That was a better name.
Yeah.
Still think that was a better name.
Yeah. Would have been just as disappointing, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Back when it was still the Ultra 64, and we had been told by Nintendo that the graphics on the arcade version of Cruisin' USA and Killer Instinct were what was going to be on the system.
Oh, yeah, those jerks.
But those systems had more oomph and in the case of Killer Instinct, a hard drive in the cabinet. What we got, it shouldn't have been the Ultra 64 because it wasn't so ultra. Oh man, people are going to be so mad right now. This is a Nintendo geared podcast. And a lot of people, the N64 was their first system, or...
Oh, sure.
And there were some great games on that system.
There were.
I just can't think of any.
No. Like when you know, you were adults like we were at the time it launched, and we're keeping up and all the... Well, actually, well, not really adults. Almost adults.
We felt we were adults.
Well, you know, we were a year or two away from being able to vote, basically.
Yeah.
And you followed all this news and the whole optical drive thing being an issue at the time. And then
I bought into the propaganda so hardcore.
Right. So then this comes out, and that was my first disappointment was, you know, I had played Killer Instinct 2 a lot in arcades.
Yeah.
And then I played Killer Instinct Gold, and I'm like, this is not graphically nearly as good. Like, I'm expecting all the same like effects and these like sweet 3D rotating backgrounds, and then like you get to the game and there's like a lot of sprites and stuff going on, kind of like the Super Nintendo port of the first game, and I'm just like, what is this? and they wanted like probably like $80 I think for this game too.
Yep,
somewhere around there.
The arcade machine had all those sweet cutscenes, and this one is just when you win, you zoom into yourself.
Yeah, I'm just like, what? I was so disappointed.
Yep.
But anyway, Killer Instinct 2, great game. Actually, you can still see the relic of the Nintendo Ultra 64 branding if you play some of those early Nintendo-based arcade games.
Yes, they listen. I like the logo was interesting, too.
Right?
But yeah, I don't know. I like NX. I do. I mean, because everyone's like, what does NX mean? What does NX mean? And I'm like, next.
Yeah.
It's the next Nintendo. But I mean, oh man, as long as they don't go like Wii Q or something like that. Just stop.
Wii Wii.
Yeah, the Wii Wii.
The Wii Us.
Yeah.
The Wii Everybody.
The Nintendo Vomit. You got used to Wii, didn't you?
Oh my gosh.
Like,
that's what happens when the Wii is thrust down your throat.
I still remember when the name came out. They're like, it's the Wii. And they're like, and everyone was like, don't worry, you'll get used to it. And we did. We all got used to it. But we got used to it, but it's still dumb. I mean, we got used to it. And I never really got used to Wii U.
No.
I still think it's awkward to say.
My 2-year-old who can't really read.
Yeah.
We use the Wii U as our primary TV. And he like his older brother is not able to get to Netflix all by himself.
Yeah.
But whenever the Wii U starts up and he sees it on the screen, he just screams W. So
yep.
I think that's adorable.
Yeah. Sarah just thinks it's an add-on to the Wii.
Of course she does. Wait, are you
customer
serious?
Customer confusion.
I can't even. I can't even tell. All right. I have one more prediction for this.
Okay.
One more.
Give me.
I want to say we're gonna get the Wii U Zelda next year. But I'm really wondering if instead we're going to get like a Twilight Princess type thing, and this going to launch both at the same time.
Totally Twilight Princessing the thing. They've spent way too much time and effort on a game that is going to reach such an such a very small user base. In fact, I will be a bit disappointed if they don't Twilight Princess it, because by the time it comes out, I'm not going to care anymore what system it's on, because I'm planning to buy the next one.
Okay.
You know, I mean, assuming that it is a console or a handheld and not a state of mind service, an athletic club, a floor wax. But I mean, assuming that it is the next progression of Nintendo console, I'll want to do exactly what I did. Like, I didn't buy the GameCube version of Twilight Princess.
Oh,
I bought the Wii version because reasons.
I bought the Wii version despite going into it knowing that the whole game was mirrored. And and I always told myself I'd spend the $50 on the GameCube version, or I'll spend $30 on it when it goes down in price, and it never did. Like, okay. Buy it used, never happened.
I predict that any Nintendo game worth its salt will never go down in price.
At retail, no. No. Not at retail. I was just thinking, like, I'd buy it used.
No, but even used stuff. I mean, look at new stuff. Like, Pikmin costs more used now than it cost new coming out.
Yeah, I don't have Pikmin 2, and now I'm really regretting it.
Like, unless things are a flop, Nintendo stuff just pretty much never goes down in price. Or value.
Right. It's almost as if Nintendo doesn't suck.
Well, I mean...
Oh, come on.
Okay, I'll give you that it's almost like that.
Fine.
Hey, I love Nintendo very much. But the thing is, if they really want this system to take off, here's what I mean. They need Splatoon at launch. They need Minecraft at launch. They need they need that Zelda.
Yeah.
They need. Oh man, I hope Xenoblade's not done. I mean, it didn't sell very well. It sold well in proportion to how many Wii U's were out there. It sold about as well as the first one, you know.
Okay.
But the first one didn't sell that well, you know. But I think it would have done a lot better had more people, you know, had the system. But I really hope that's a series that's going to continue, though, because, man, do I love it. I think Nintendo needs to keep the hardcore on board, and I think they need to have, as a launch title, they need to have Bayonetta 3.
Oh, no.
And I, 2 weeks ago, if you said Bayonetta 3, I would have said 0% chance. But now I'm saying 20% chance.
Is all at 20% due to Smash Brothers?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nintendo obviously has a vested interest in this series.
Okay.
And they have decided that to use one of their remaining slots on Smash Brothers, you know, in lieu of other characters, because it is, you know, a demanded thing that they have the rights for, and, you know, and who knows, maybe people playing her in Smash brings up interest in the series. I mean, that's how, you know, people started getting interested in Fire Emblem. So.
Right, exactly. Because I knew a little bit about Fire Emblem before those characters showed up in, what was it, Melee? So, yeah. Okay. Is it my turn? Because I don't really have anything else.
On the NX?
No, on a prediction for next year.
Oh, that's
this
that's
year.
All
I mean, this year. Okay. It's obviously this year.
This year. Okay. Yeah. It's this year. We would never. We always record these live. The day that you like the as you're here, we're actually. You think it's a podcast, but actually when you hit the Famicom Dojo podcast, it actually activates an app where we're speaking directly to you.
Yep. We're always talking to each other to you.
This is happening in real time.
Uh-huh. That's the ticket.
Anyway,
Oh
Indeed.
boy.
Okay.
Predictions,
Predictions.
predictions about things happening this year.
Yeah. Okay.
This year.
This year, there will continue to be tons of crap made for cell phones.
Oh, does that include new Nintendo crap?
Well, no. I think Nintendo is going to do some pretty high level crap. They've got their
Badge Arcade.
Tomodachi collection. They got Badge Arcade. It's just, maybe they'll make games like Rusty's Real Deal Baseball that where the DLC is not so offensive.
I know. I would have such high hopes for Badge Arcade. I'm not, I guess not high hopes, but I expected more.
But the thing is, and they will, they'll do this, and there'll be a Pokemon game where you DLC a bunch of Pokemons, and they're gonna probably be well made for the type of game they are. I think a lot of DS series that were touch based will get ported, because those games would work on the system. I mean, anything with buttons, I think. Hopefully, Nintendo's smart enough to know that if they just throw Mario 64 on the cell phone, it's going to control like garbage.
Nah.
But hopefully they will do things like I would totally buy a smartphone WarioWare game, for example, that's
Okay.
made like WarioWare Touch on the Nintendo DS. There's a lot of things that they could do with it, but I probably won't buy whatever they put out. Because if it's released at a reasonable price and it's a self-contained game, yeah, I'll probably buy a couple. But if it's more free-to-play, DLC heavy, even if it's well made, I don't think that that's it's just not my game. It's not my generation. It's not my thing. Then again, who knows? I've been wrong on everything else that I thought. Thought I didn't like first-person shooters. Thought I didn't like open-world games. If any company is gonna make me buy DLC, it's Nintendo.
Oh boy. Okay. What if that DLC is a physical Pokemon you have to buy to actually use in the game?
No.
Won't happen or you won't do
I won't do it. That might happen. Don't give them any
it.
ideas. Nintendo listens
Might.
to this podcast.
I think
Of
they
course it
have.
might happen. Of
I mean,
course it might happen.
this Pokemon is amiibo already, so.
I know, but what I'm saying is Amiibos could very well be hitting smartphones next year.
How?
What do you mean, how? All they
The
have to do is get a
cell
base state.
adapter? Oh,
Get a base
boy.
station. They did it with the. Or find a way that Amiibos 2.0 can do with NFC or something, or whatever. Whatever Apple's doing. I think they're doing their own thing, but
Okay.
whatever they're doing. However Apple Pay works.
Right. Oh boy. That
Nintendo Pay.
does remind me of another NX related prediction I had that I forgot to mention.
Go ahead.
There will not be a gamepad because it won't be necessary because it will come with at least one of those handheld doohickeys, but it'll be smaller and perhaps less functional than a Wii U controller. So for that reason, I think there will not be any Wii U backwards compatibility, despite any underlying hardware slash software that they might be able to come up with later. Because I was wrong about the Xbox One and the PS4 never being backwards compatible. But in the case of the PS4, that was because they had that streaming service that never seemed to take off.
Yeah.
The Xbox One, though, I did not see
No.
360 compatibility coming at all.
Hey, bravo, Microsoft.
Right?
Like I am not you know very well that I've had my disagreements with how Microsoft's been running things, but they had their Sony moment right there. They made a video that was like, how do you play, like, remember Sony's video that was like, how do you share a game with a friend?
Yes.
Give game to friend. Friend
Yes.
plays game, you know.
Yes.
And so Microsoft made, how do you do backwards compatibility? And they're like, put disk in. And I was like, yes. For the same reasons that I got behind Sony with their thing. The idea of the simplicity of the just working thing. Oh man, Sony's reselling of PlayStation 2 games and PlayStation games to people. I think that's dirty, frankly. And I was pro Sony this generation too. I really can't get behind that because, I mean, a lot of people have paid a lot of money to buy PlayStation 2 classics, you know,
right,
for the PlayStation 3. I mean, you haven't. You didn't have a PlayStation 3. So this one won't affect you very much. But for people who've built up a library, I mean, I can understand, I guess, them not playing the physical discs, although that would definitely be a something they could do, you know. With how powerful the PlayStation 4 is and with how even like older computers can emulate the old systems pretty well, you know, it's something they could do if they wanted to. But I think they'd rather nickel and dime it. Not really. I mean, their classic series for PlayStation 2 is quite expensive, actually. $15-$20?
Oh,
something like that.
No.
It's... I don't like that. I don't like the idea... I mean, I guess we come to expect that when we buy something, it'll be forwards compatible these days.
Sure.
And I guess that is an unrealistic expectation. But the thing is, the reason that they're not doing it is very arbitrary. Like, they could if they wanted to.
Sure.
But they don't want to. And, like... I feel I'm not letting Nintendo off the hook here either. I mean, yes, they've made it that you can put in a disc and it's backwards compatible, but if you bought Virtual Console things, you have to pay a surcharge to play them on your new system, and you know, and Nintendo didn't have to do that.
And that's my next prediction, is that I think the NX is going to have a similar program.
Probably.
At least announced, but I'm hoping...
I can't wait to buy Urban Champion again.
I'm hoping, but not necessarily predicting, that by the time the NX comes out, they tweak that plan.
Oh my god! Do we have to slow trickle out the Virtual Console games again? I mean, are we really? Is it going to be Urban Champion, Pinball, Baseball for launch week, and then slowly we... Maybe they'll continue the Wii U's momentum and continually remove systems from compatibility. So that's left is the black and white Game Boy. I mean,
yeah, because we don't even have the same games that were on the Wii yet.
Goodness, look at the Wii. We had TurboGrafx games and some PC Engine games that hadn't been released before. We had Neo Geo, we had Arcade, we had Genesis, we had all these things, and then Wii U for the first 2 years it was out didn't even have N64. It's ridiculous, absurd. I mean, yes, they added Game Boy Advance, but why wasn't that on the 3DS? I mean, it's kind of bizarre decision.
It's too weird. Yeah, I don't understand that.
I mean, I guess the 3DS is unable to emulate at the level that they would have liked. I mean, the ambassador...
Is that program, what the problem is?
I believe so. I mean, that's my guess, because the ambassador program games that people got were like not within normal. Like, it made your system like it was very bare bones. You know, it didn't have any of the... It wouldn't have had any like Miiverse compatibility and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because I was just going to say, like the regular DS hardware could obviously do Game Boy Advance stuff, but I don't know if that's because there was, like, Game Boy...
Oh, there was a separate Advance chip in
there. Ah,
but,
right.
Much like how the original PlayStation 3 could do PlayStation 2 games.
Got it. Got it.
And how the later Wiis could not play GameCube games.
Right.
But anyway, but I mean, the new 3DS definitely would be, you know, have the hardware to do it, and hopefully the NX will. I know that there's probably stuff. I would love to read a book like 10 years from now to know what the heck happened with Virtual Console.
Oh,
because you know, there must be a reason Nintendo did it this way. I mean, the reason can't just be we're dumb, you know. They must have lost licensing for things. I mean, like, they right. no longer. I just don't get it. There's PC Engine games available for Japan, so maybe the licensing is different. Or I don't Probably. Know. But what went wrong with the Wii U and the Virtual Console? Because there are so many games I bought on Virtual Console that I would love to play without switching to Wii mode, which is weird in itself.
Right. But, right.
You know, and I'd be even willing to pay that, you know, the price. It wasn't too expensive. But there's so many games that I just can't. And I'm really nervous now that I'm going to lose those games permanently when the next generation switches over. Because I don't have enough space on the Wii for all the games I have, you know, to be downloaded. You can't hook up right. an external hard drive to that sucker.
To which thing?
To my Wii.
Oh, right.
Or the emulated Wii living within my Wii U or whatever.
Right.
So.
Right. That's not going to make a transition, I don't think.
So, like, I'm going to lose those things because they don't. I can't have them all downloaded onto my hardware right now. So they're just going to disappear when that service switches right. off, which is. Which will be another podcast later on. I predict.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there we go. Go for it.
That this is going to be a good podcast topic in the future. But Nintendo, you've got your unified network solution right now. Get your stuff together and make us proud.
Well, I predict that Xbox Live support for 360 goes away.
Oh yeah. In 2016? I'm gonna think the opposite. I don't think so because
no.
until the cross generational titles completely stop, it's gotta keep going.
You think so? I think you're probably right.
Well, like what was it? Rise of the Tomb Raider? That had a 360 version, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I know Dragon Age did, but that was 2014. So,
yeah, but regardless, there's still at least some titles. Persona 5, I mean, that's for PlayStation 4, but still. What was it? Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, had a 360 version.
Okay.
You know, and that has online components to it. Like, I think until those games completely stop being released, it would be a real jerk move to shut that off. Like, even, I mean, I know you were very upset when they shut off the original Xbox services, but by that time, there were no games still being
That's
produced.
True. That's true.
So yeah. I think we will still have Xbox 360 games into 2017.
Okay. All right. We'll see who's right. See, take both sides. Who can't be wrong.
But it's going to be there. I mean, it's not going to be much in 2017. Here's what you're going to get 2017. You're going to get some Just Dance game. You're going to get a Madden game. you know, right. the stuff that you're going to get FIFA, you know,
FIFA.
But those
still a thing.
Yeah, that's still a thing. That's still a thing. If we lived in any other country, you'd know that.
Oh, man.
And those all have online components to them. So, I mean, they'll need to keep it going for a little while. But maybe end of 2017. Yeah, that's
so what
that's,
you're saying is I can still play Mass Effect 3 one more time.
I guess. Yes. does that require a persistent connection?
No, but there's this whole thing with you have to play online multiplayer and win. There's like this galaxy map and you have to win back enough percentage of it to help you win the main game to get the best ending.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know you had to go online to get the best ending.
You can still win the game.
Yeah.
Without doing that, as long as you get enough war points or whatever the heck.
Okay.
You do, but there is one particular ending with one particular choice you can make that it just adds a little something to it. So I don't know if it's worth all the hours you'd potentially put into it. But yeah, there is a component there. They've since nerfed it a bit, so I don't think you have to play as much as you did when the game first launched, but I don't think it's ever going to go away entirely.
Wow, I really don't like that.
Right.
Because it's going to take me a while to get through that. I'm intending to play the series now, and it's going to take me a while to get through it. So, I really don't like that.
Oh, no. Well, how about this? I predict you'll at least play through Mass Effect 1 this year. Oh, come on!
What? I predict I'll start it. It's a long game.
It's not as long as, like, Dragon Age or Xenoblade Chronicles, apparently. You can get a good playthrough done in, like, 30 hours.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
It took me 50, but I'm...
Let's make a middle-of-the-road prediction. I predict that I will start the game, and I predict that you will nag me on a weekly basis.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
You know, I was gonna come into this podcast trying to convince you to start playing Xenoblade Chronicles X, but I've decided not to because I respect you as a family man and I respect your family.
You're trying to get me to lay off, is what you're saying?
No, what I'm thinking is, like, I think you, since you like Dragon Age so much, and you know, and those type of games, and this one is quite a nice one, and it's very, very long. I think it's going to eat up a lot of your time that could be spent doing better things.
I see. Yeah, it would be very hard for me to jump into another game that big, but along those lines, I predict we're going to see the next Mass Effect game this year. Or at least by C, I mean we're going to know more than we did last year. I don't know if it's going to be released this year per se, but
no, I would say not.
But 2017 will be the 10th anniversary of the first game, so maybe that's a better bet.
So do you think it's going to be announced or revealed before or after E3?
I think we will see some actual gameplay in E3, because they did show like a teaser trailer, but it wasn't necessarily in-game stuff.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. All right.
Right. What else?
What else? What do you have?
Okay, I've got. I think the main thing that we're going to be seeing at E3 and in general is I think there's going to be a huge emphasis on VR.
Oh, no.
I think that's the next thing because, you know, I mean, gosh, what would it be? I think that, you know, Sony needs to take, and Microsoft needs to do something to take away from Nintendo's thunder. You know, releasing a new console mid-generation is strange. You know, and there's going to be a lot of buzz for it. So, I mean, what companies often try to do is, you know, to, you know, release something else to, you know, get the people talking about them again. I don't remember what Project Morpheus has been renamed now, but whatever Sony has, I think that's going to be revealed around the same time as the NX. Okay. I mean, it's been revealed already, but like, there's going to be more, you know, concrete details. Like, it'll be playable at E3. Okay. I think it's been playable already in some forms, like demo-y. I don't know. But I mean, there'll be full games to play. And I think Oculus Rift is also going to be a big thing to look at. They're going to be pushing that heavily. And much like Nintendo smartphone games, I think it's very interesting, but I probably won't buy it.
All right.
Oh, it's... Because in general, 3D games have never really been for me. And this will be and it gives no advantage to the 2D games I like to play, you know, so we'll see. But of course, if they release a Xenoblade Chronicles for it, I will buy it. Maybe that's Nintendo's secret. They've just been talking like, oh, we don't think VR is a big thing because secretly that's what they've been developing this whole time.
And they're going to call it Virtual Boy 2.
Oh, wow. Yuck. Who knows? Like, who knows? Nintendo's so mysterious right now. Hopefully for the reason that they have good secrecy measures and not just that they don't actually have anything. Wow, nothing's leaked so far. Nintendo must be good at keeping secrets. Or Nintendo hasn't actually figured out what the NX is yet.
I would prefer the former, but I see a case for the latter.
Yep. Yep. Ugh. Retro games are going to continue to climb in price.
And yeah. This is something I don't really like. Man.
It's getting crazy.
I have seen some like NES cartridge games.
Yep.
Go for like 60, 70 bucks. It's like, man, are we in the '80s again? What's going on here? Let me see if I can find a picture of one of them.
Yeah.
The pre-played shops in Madison, tend to carry stuff. Actually, they have fewer NES games than they used to, and all of them cost more, which I find very strange. Here we go. Mega Man 6 boxed. Okay. It says new, so I don't know if it's like original factory sealed or whatever like that, but $300. Kirby's Adventure, similarly labeled, $130 bucks.
That's nuts. And these are not rare games.
No. I can buy either one of these in a virtual console, right? What, $5-$6 bucks?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Now, okay. But still I'm a little okay, you know, I mean, I'm not okay with the prices, but like, you know, what I hate is these new ones that are like officially appraised and like locked in plastic. Have you seen these things? You see them on auction sites a lot. Like they've been graded. Like what? Their condition has been officially graded, and then they're
for
like
a cartridge game.
Yeah, well, like in boxed cartridge games. Yeah, they're unopened, and then they're like they encase it in plastic so that you can't open it, so that it can be displayed. Put in a safe deposit box? I don't know. Like, I mean, I suppose you could crack the thing open and get it, but like, it's not meant to ever be taken out of there.
Okay.
And this is, I don't, as a collector, I can sort of see it, but as a gamer, it hurts my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, that is a game that not only hasn't been played, but won't be played. And just like collect, I know there's a lot of people who are sealed game collectors. I get that. I understand you want something that is pristine, and a lot of them do play games as well. They will buy sealed games, but they will also buy like a copy to play. I get that, but I don't know. If the prices were reasonable, but it's because of this stuff that there's less games circulating, because these are meant to be like kept forever or only given to another collector, so there's less games out there being played, and that's why the prices keep going up. That's why scarcity keeps happening. I predict, let's make predictions. Is Shenmue 3 coming out next year?
This year? No.
What about the Castlevania e-game? What is that? Ritual of the Night? Bloodletting? That's not the name.
I think there's blood in it.
Bloodletting Simulator.
Sounds... Leech your friends.
Yes.
Cure, balance their humors.
Yes. It's a humor management simulation.
No, Shenmue 3 has, I don't think, has any chance. Like, the
no,
Kickstarter
I don't
was
think.
just, no.
Yeah, I don't think it's even supposed. Like, when I pledge on a Kickstarter, I always like take the date that they've got that it's finished and like add a year to it. You know what I mean?
I don't think Ghost Song is coming out this year, so.
Oh man, there's I got it. I mean, it still looks great and everything, but that's got to be one of my larger Kickstarter regrets, you know, because I pledged for it hoping to that it would meet its stretch goal so I'd be able to play it on the Wii U, because
Right.
I don't. But then they, you know, I mean, had they met the Wii U goal and then changed it to PC only, I would have been really upset. But
Right.
they didn't. They didn't make the Wii U goal. They said they were going to try, but you know, they didn't get there. You know, no harm, no foul. But when it went PC only, I kind of lost interest because
Oh.
I'm not a PC gamer, and in fact, as a Mac user, I don't even know if I can play it. So,
Right.
it still looks nice. It's way past its deadline. You know, like ridiculously past at this point. But I don't know. In general, I'm still really happy about the whole Kickstarter system with games, because if we didn't have it, I would never have gotten to play Shovel Knight, and all those other just fantastic kickstarted games. But at the same time, like, I think it's something that's best if you forget you pledged.
Oh boy. Well, the Kickstarter app has this handy little section which shows your pledges, and I was unable to forget. Although I guess Amplitude,
Hey, that's out. Yeah,
yeah,
that's, I
that's
mean,
out.
oh,
So
seriously.
I'm the I wasn't able to get on the early access thing right away because I haven't been home for the Christmas season. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm probably gonna do that after this podcast.
And man, am I excited about Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That was well.
Wow.
That's obviously coming out next year. This year, this year.
This year. Well, probably. I mean, it should. It should. I mean, there's, you know, they're saying 2016, and if that one gets delayed, I can kind of understand, because it's a full like 14 episodes now.
Yeah.
Whereas it was originally, you know, three, it definitely would have come out. But, you know, and that's fine. I kind of want them to take their time on that one, which is, I'm hoping, how people will respond with our Kickstarter if we, for some reason, get delayed.
All right. How about let's bring it home then.
Yes, we were born to play on this week's our game.
Hey, what's your favorite movie? This week it's my favorite too, even if it's Roadhouse.
Roadhouse is the story of a big city bouncer with the secret power to rip people's throats out who comes to a small town full of really dumb people to be a bouncer there.
This is 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie.
Listen to 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network.
Okay, bring it home.
That's my prediction then, is that we are going to launch our Kickstarter. We are going to
Nice.
Fulfill it
Ooh.
by Christmas.
Nice.
That is my prediction. And I mean, we've been doing some things behind the scenes to get ready. We're making our website a little more robust, trying to think of ways to give access to the people who pledge, and just laying some more groundwork before we get the campaign fired up again, because for those of you who listened to the last Denchi Mail, we play the first 2 or 3 minutes of the Kickstarter video, which is done. It's done.
Yep.
It's finished. So we just need to put the rest of the campaign together, and that's a lot of work to get all the T's dotted and the I's crossed. Wait,
exactly.
Strike that.
No,
Reverse it.
wait.
But yeah, there's a lot of thought going into this campaign. So
that's why. I mean, that's the whole thing. We've seen a lot of campaigns that have either not reached their funding or have, but have set unattainable goals. And we don't want to be that because, for one thing, you know, you guys are listeners. We want you to, you know, to trust us and have, you know, we want this to work out well because, we don't want any bad blood there. And we want to produce a product that we're proud of too. I mean, I know this is the most common comment I get for anything I put up is, you know, when is the Kickstarter launching? But
yeah,
soon. And, in a way that is good for everyone.
Yes.
Is the main thing. Yeah.
Yes. I think given the performance of things like, Mr. Science Theater,
yeah,
and the lack of performance of things like Retro VGS, we're trying to find that middle ground. Yeah. It's like we think we can make it. We can make our goal, but we know that we have to be very careful and do some clever things to spark interest. So we're making sure that we're leading into it well enough and not just kind of rushing into it because, you know, we set the goalpost and then like I know like last year we were thinking maybe we launch it in conjunction with the end of the Winter Dojo, and given how much work the Winter Dojo was, that didn't happen. And then it's like, well, maybe we should wait until the betas perform a bit better. And then the summer hit and we had that awesome finally all those videos found their home basically, and then we just weren't ready to pivot on that. But I think I predict we will also have a little dojo lit for winter 2016 that will perhaps lead into the Kickstarter stuff. You know, one or two videos. Nothing too fancy like last time.
That'd be nice. And I don't know. I think 2016 was 2015. Oh, good. What year are we? I think 2015, that year that just happened, was pretty good for Famicom.
It isn't over yet.
It was very good for Famicom Dojo. We released a lot. We released I think since we switched to being the YouTube channel Famicom Dojo, it's our most prolific year.
Oh yeah! Oh, absolutely prolific, and overall across both channels, definitely the most views we've had in a long time, and it's very nice. We just got an actual a comment on our YouTube channel, which is we've been getting a few like these lately, and I'm not sure what's causing this, but I'm not disappointed. Devin Manning wrote, "I remember watching this show many years ago. Glad to see it's still just as good as I remember, if not better." Which makes me happy, but I'm wondering where everyone went. So
that's okay. Those of you who are listening to our podcast right now, you're the best of the best of the best.
I predict if you share your love of this podcast and the videos with others, they will share it too, and then 2016 will be the best year Famicom Dojo has ever had.
I predict that if you share these videos, you will have good luck and fortune. And your golf game will improve.
Yeah, you know, the game golf for NES.
These are predictions. I'm not held to any accountability.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, looking forward to the next year. I mean, the current year, the year...
Yep.
Looking forward to today.
The year that it already is, because the other one that it was is absolutely totally over. To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Dentrymail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more. All right. So I guess until next year,
until next time, the dojo is. This is Schrodinger's dojo.
You never know.
Is it the past? Is it the future? Until you actually look at the metadata, you won't know.
That's right.
So you have to assume that it is both the past and the future.
Oh my gosh, that's heavy. I should go watch more Doctor Who.
All right. So until next week?
Yeah, next week.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Until next week, the dojo is interrupting my game of Doom.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.